Mr. J. Sekulo, Justice Kavanaugh goes to work.
Live from Washington, D.C., J. Sekulo Live.
On this vote, the ayes are 50, the nays are 48. The nomination of Brett M. Kavanaugh of Maryland to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States is confirmed.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Let's use this week to give us all that extra energy that we know we have, to remember that the bottom line is that they may have the power right now, but we need to take it back.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
So now you see the pivot from the Supreme Court confirmation battle to the midterm elections. Hi, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. Well, Judge Kavanaugh went to his chambers on Sunday as Justice Brett Kavanaugh. He will hear his first cases on Tuesday. It was a very, very close vote, but at the end of the day, he prevailed. We talked about the fact that this was a multi-phase approach. Brett Kavanaugh's opposition, the Democratic opposition to Brett Kavanaugh, was a multi-phase approach. We said phase one was ideology. That was the first part of the hearing. He did very well there, so that did not work. Phase two of the attack was on these allegations with an FBI inquiry coming on as a follow-up. That did not work. They went into a phase three attack, and that phase three attack focused on judicial temperament because he was aggressive in response to questions. Of course, he was accused of committing a crime, so of course he was aggressive. That did not work, and ultimately they could not get to phase four, which was going to be to just run the clock out.
Yeah, to try and run the clock out. The votes ultimately were there. A supplemental FBI report satisfied Susan Collins and Jeff Flake, as well as Joe Manchin, and who was the single Democrat to vote yes for Judge Kavanaugh. The senator who was attending the wedding did not have to fly back who was supporting Kavanaugh, because Lisa Murkowski, who was opposed to the nomination, voted present. So that's why you get this interesting 50-48 breakdown. So obviously the margins, very slim, but Republican leadership, along with the White House and the president who stuck by Brett Kavanaugh throughout the process, were able to deliver their victory. And Brett Kavanaugh is now Justice Kavanaugh. He was sworn in that night, actually, and went to work, I believe, on Sunday. And so his team was in place, ready to go, and he'll be hearing cases, as you said, tomorrow.
Today for the holiday.
Very quick process, I think Democrats are now just going to try to make it an issue of politics
for the
trying
midterms
to bring Brett Kavanaugh's name back up into the midterms.
Not sure how that's going to work. We're going to talk about that on the broadcast today. We want your reaction to all of this, because here's what you've got. House Democrats are already saying that if they get a majority in the House, that they are going to want investigations of Brett Kavanaugh. That's already being discussed.
It's already being discussed. I think some of the senators in the Republican Party said it best, that maybe the Democrats overplayed their hand here. I know Mitch McConnell said it, Bob Corker said it, and some others. Jay, at the end of the day, if they want to spend the rest of this election cycle relitigating Brett Kavanaugh, I think that is going to bode poorly for them at the ballot box. I think they took this beyond as far as they could during this process, and yet he was still confirmed, and confirmed with a bipartisan vote. I mean, Joe Manchin, in a competitive race, voted for Brett Kavanaugh. I think that should be the signal to them that this probably isn't what they should take to the ballot box. But
apparently
it sure looks like they're going to.
Yeah, it is. And I don't think that's, I mean, we saw the most recent polls, for instance, with a very tight race for the Senate in Tennessee, where Marsha Blackburn and Phil Bredesen, a very popular Democratic governor of the state of Tennessee, were basically neck and neck. And over the most recent polls from CBS News, which is not skewing conservative at all, she's up +8. I understand there's other polls coming out that could be +11 or +12 tomorrow. So you're starting to see double-digit leads.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so big changes are occurring. In light, I think that you've got, yes, it may have encouraged the liberal base, but I think the broader Republican base, a base that doesn't always unite around just President Trump, but comes together over Supreme Court nominations. Yeah. Generally, it's one of the main issues to unite Republicans. That may have just occurred, and that spells trouble for Democrats.
So this is what we want to know from you. What does the Kavanaugh confirmation mean for you politically? We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I was out in Arizona over the weekend and spoke at a big crisis pregnancy center banquet. And it was the day of the confirmation. It was the Saturday when Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed, and it was very interesting to see the reaction of the folks there. He's now hearing cases, so every case that's forward, he will be a part of. So they will hear cases, oral arguments, closed courts closed today. They'll hear oral arguments tomorrow. So that's moving forward. Having said that, there's already been a pivot, and I want to kind of set this up, and then we'll go take some phone calls, and we want your comments about this. There's been this pivot since his confirmation. We told you it went through the phases. They couldn't get it into phase four. Phase four would have been run out the clock for three more weeks that politically. That was what they were trying to do, but it just was not working. They couldn't. They got the phase one, phase two, and it was stopped at phase three. Is that a fair way to say it, man?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they tried every phase they could, Jay, but ultimately the Republicans held in the Senate. They only lost Lisa Murkowski on the final vote. And how many times did we say it on this broadcast? If the Republicans could deliver 50 votes, the Democrats could try anything they wanted and it wasn't going to stop them. Only losing Lisa Murkowski ensured that Judge Kavanaugh was going to be Justice Kavanaugh. And then, Jay, I think it took about 30 seconds after the Republicans delivered that 50th vote in Susan Collins' speech that Joe Manchin said he was also a yes. So it was essentially, Jay, a 51-49 margin.
Yeah, go ahead, Jordan.
I think it's important. Actually, I think this is a good call to take as we're, while we're talking about this margin. Jim in New Hampshire has a direct question on line three. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Jim.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. It's an honor to be on your program.
Sure.
I am so pleased to know that we still live in a country where we're innocent until proven guilty. And my question, Jay, is, why would Lisa Murkowski vote present rather than no?
All right, so let's talk about that. Go ahead.
So what happened was one of her Republican colleagues, Steve Daines, who voted yes on cloture and Murkowski voted no on cloture, and announced that she would be a no vote on Brett Kavanaugh. Her Republican colleague, Steve Daines, was a yes vote and would have been a yes vote on Kavanaugh. His daughter was getting married. He's from Montana, a senator from Montana. On that Saturday, if he had to, he was going to fly back to vote. But out of just niceties there, she knew that their votes would cancel each other out anyway, so it wouldn't affect the nomination, so she could vote present. So she was still registering her opposition. That is why she did not vote no. She would have voted no if Steve Daines was there. So it wasn't like she was doing a favor for Brett Kavanaugh. She was doing a favor for her Republican colleague who was attending his daughter's wedding.
So what happens? So then what? Let's take that. That's a great, was a great call from Jim. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. But now let's take it. What is that play? She's in there for, she's got four more years before she's up for re-election. They're already talking about Sarah Palin running for that as a Republican opponent.
Yeah, politically speaking, Jay, this has the same effect as voting no on Brett Kavanaugh. Jordan's exactly right on this. I think it was a nice senatorial courtesy. But look, if she'd have stayed a no and they had, would have needed Steve Daines' vote, they would have just held the vote open while he flew back to cast that vote. And in fact, if people were watching either on cable news or on C-SPAN, you saw the first time they went through the roll call, Lisa Murkowski voted no. It was only when all the senators had voted and the outcome was clear that she stood and said, out of deference to Steve Daines, I'm going to withdraw my vote. I'm going to be a present because it's not going to change the outcome and it will allow my friend to stay home in Montana. But politically speaking, Jay, and we got to be very clear about this, she was opposed to Brett Kavanaugh. She did not deliver one of the votes that was needed to get him over the line. And so when she's up for re-election in Alaska, that's the message she's going to have to take back to voters in Alaska and convince them one way or another that it was the right or the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, I think this is, she's going to have a real fight on her hands. And I think, what do you think's going to happen? Well, we're going to go state by state in a minute, but I think this is, the interesting thing to me is I think the Republicans are going to pick up House Senate seats. I thought that was going to happen before that. Yeah. I think it's definitely going to happen now. The question is, there was this blue wave expected to be coming, and normally during the after the midterms of the new president, they lose control. If they have the control of the House, they usually lose it. I mean, that's historically. How do you see it here?
Well, I see that in the House specifically, everybody's up for re-election. So unlike the Senate, it's not staggered. This is everybody every 2 years. So everybody has to defend their seat. That being said, they say there's about 32 toss-ups. That's kind of the average. That changes, though, regularly. Most of those toss-ups still right now are Republican. Just to be clear, only two are Democrat-held seats. That being said, the Leans GOP are all Republican, and the Leans Dem are about mixed. So I'd say it's about this. Can Republicans just kind of maintain? If they lose a couple seats, I think that is a victory. I think if they lose, as long as they have...
You define win as keeping the House in control, not the numbers.
If they still are the head of the majority. Committees, if they are still the majority party in the House, even if it's by one or two votes, they won. I mean, that was a big victory for Republicans coming into a tough election cycle. And then in the Senate, what you'll see, I think, certainly is an expansion of the Republican majority, unless something very bizarre happened in these next... less than a month out.
Ben, what do you think?
I think that's right. I mean, the Republicans have 240 seats in the House right now, so Democrats would need to flip 23 of them. And, you know, history is on the side of the minority party. So I think that the goalpost for Republicans there is absolutely just that 218 majority. And I actually think, Jay, right now they have a pretty decent shot to do it. In the Senate, I really
that would
do
be,
think
I mean,
a four.
And when I, need to, I want to just interrupt for a second there, then I'll let you finish. But people need to understand, if they will lose House seats. Republicans are going to lose House seats, I think there's no doubt. But if they can still maintain control of the House, that would be a huge victory for both the Republican Party, the members of Congress that head those committees, and the president. A big gigantic.
No question about it. Both parties are only aiming for that 218 number. And the fact that Republicans currently have 240, Jay, they hold a couple of dozen seats that are really Democrat-heavy seats. So they're going to lose some of those, but they're not aiming for 240. They're aiming for 218. And in the Senate, you know, Democrats essentially need a clean sweep, Jay. I mean, I think they have already conceded that they're going to lose that North Dakota seat. So they need to take the seats that Republicans hold in Nevada and Arizona and then really sweep all of the toss-up states that Jordan is talking about. I don't see that happening, Jay. I think the Republicans are going to have somewhere between 50 and 54 seats in the United States Senate.
Yeah, well, it would be quite an uptick. All right, let's go. And do you think, well, we'll get into how much of that plays off of the Kavanaugh process. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, Ruth called in from Colorado online, too. Ruth, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Ruth.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me on. And I just want to say to women out there that I'm a Democrat and living in Colorado, we're being invaded by thinking that is not traditional to Coloradoans. And as a woman, I do not stand with the people that are speaking for me and including me in all their statements. And I'm a survivor of abuse. But the thing is I am objective. I'm looking at all areas, listening to all media and listening not to sound bites, but the full message. And I just want to commend you on your job because you helped me track what was happening in these last weeks, and it was clearly an injustice to women, and it's clearly an injustice to our Supreme Court and to our nation.
Well, thanks for listening, Ruth, number one. Number two, interesting, I was with a couple at dinner on Saturday when at this event I spoke at, and I was where I was the speaker, and he was an independent and is now switching to the Republican Party. I think, and I'm sure there are independents that are now switching to the Democratic Party. I mean, I'm sure there's that at play, too. But it's interesting that this galvanizing moment on the Supreme Court nomination that got so ugly and so overheated and with accusations of criminality flowing from senators that had made up their mind before they were going to vote no anyways. But to make it this personal, I mean, there was I'm not going to name the TV show, but one of the head writers of one of the evening talk shows, popular talk shows, said, well, at least we ruined his life, Brett Kavanaugh's life. That's what, I mean, give me the exact word, so I want to be specific on that. I'm not going to say who this writer was, but it was a head writer for one of the major shows. And this was the venom that was out there during this process. It was really unbelievable. I mean, really unreal.
Yes, and they're trying to keep it up.
Yes.
So Nancy Pelosi is now taking control of this. So the House is taking control. Why? Because the Senate Democrats know they can complain all they want, but they've got a lot of work to do if they have any shot at all of getting – which, by the way, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about a real significant opportunity for them to take back the Senate, even the Democrats.
Yep.
Now I think they're just hoping to hold on to what they've got to keep people like Joe Manchin within their own party. Even if they are still the minority party. So you're going to see now, and it's already happening, it's Nancy Pelosi,
yes.
It's the Adam Schiff types, it's the House Democrats who are bringing up Kavanaugh and saying, remember, we've got the best shot, and they do, this is true, of taking back one of the houses of Congress, specifically the House of Representatives. Because of that, we can open up, even though we have no role in advising consent, we can open up investigations into Kavanaugh.
We're trying to find sound from that. And let's get some of the quotes that they have, but we'll get some of the sound as well. Yeah, here's one of the quotes. I don't have the sound on this yet. This is from Jerry Nadler from New York. It's not something that we're eager to do, he said, but the Senate having failed to do its proper constitutionally mandated job of advising consent, we're going to have to do something to provide a check and balance to protect the rule of law and to protect the legitimacy of one of our most important institutions. But then when there are direct calls to say we are going to investigate Brett Kavanaugh, if the House majority becomes Democratic. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Those on Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to share it with your friend and get your comments in. Our team's monitoring social media now, and we'll discuss that when we come back from the break. Also, your support of the work of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org. It should bring you this broadcast every single day, 5 days a week. So we want to make sure that you stay educated and informed. And updated. ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad. standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
By the way, a little bit of a programming note for you. Tomorrow on the broadcast, we're going to have a special report on Asia Bibi. This is the case involving the Christian woman who's been sentenced to death in Pakistan for sharing her faith. They accused her of blasphemy. She's been in jail for 8 years. She's a mother. We have been heavily involved in her case. We have an office in Pakistan that's been involved directly in the case. And I will tell you how heated it's become. When we sent out a request for people to pray for her and her family and the lawyers that are handling the case, I did this over the weekend because the hearing was today, that we started this. We saw all of a sudden, the technical term, I guess, is what? It's just the people that were writing really horrible things about Asia Bibi. We were saying, pray for her. People were saying, hashtag hang Asia Bibi.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple, in English, this hashtag is running through, and it's English is spoken in Pakistan as well. But it's, again, to anything positive about Asia Bibi, so I wouldn't be surprised, if you tweet things out. I know with your Twitter account, but it's happening worldwide, not just our Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
This call for what section of Sharia law to do it under.
Yep.
As we've said, this is a death penalty case, and these are primarily Muslim Pakistanis who are calling for her to be executed. So it's hang her, execute her, kill her, punish her, and again, this makes it so dangerous for the judiciary there because judges have died in the past at the top court, as well as other cabinet members who have expressed support for Asia Bibi, who's now been in prison 8 years.
How difficult do you think? I mean, we'll do this in a moment, but we'll get back to the topic. On the Asia Bibi case, just for a moment here. This was the hearing.
Yes.
We talked to Shahriyar Gill from our office.
Right.
He said, this is it. I mean, this is.
Yeah. So next comes a verdict, and there's no timeline on that. Most cases in Pakistan, even at the Supreme Court, so very unlike ours, at the highest court in their land, which is a three-judge panel, and the Chief Justice did sit on this one, we know that,
pretty brave.
Most 90% come that day.
Yeah,
like
the verdict
then
would
from
be
the
right
bench.
Then. Yep.
This, in important cases, so the other 10%, they do take time. But it's not usually the time like here where it can be months and months and months from our Supreme Court. This could happen at any moment. There's probably a lot of security concerns at risk here. There's geopolitical issues at risk here.
Feeling?
I get nervous because of what these judges face. So what we saw before is even like you get to this point and judges start leaving so you don't have a quorum so you can't have a verdict. And you got to go through it again. I'm nervous about all of that because they're under
significant. Sounded like the hearing went very well.
The hearings have gone well for her. It's that the judges have either been killed or have quit. And again, I think we'll get people more and more updated on as the news comes in.
Yeah, we're gonna give you a full hour on that tomorrow. It's that big of a case.
I would pray for the judges in that situation. I mean, I think even the prosecutors, the government officials, the police, her attorneys as well, of course, her family, but I know you're doing that. But especially for those judges, not on the decision, but on their safety, even while they are deciding, because what we know the other side has done is tried to harass or kill them before they've gotten to a decision point.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk a lot more about this. We're going to give you a full briefing on this case on tomorrow's broadcast. Let's go ahead and go right back to the phones.
Yep. David's calling in from Tennessee on line one. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, David.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call, Jay.
Sure.
My concern is, I'm very pleased with what happened. I actually was listening to her testimony a couple of weeks ago on the radio, and it's a lot different listening to her on the radio than it was seeing her on TV, him too. But now, where do we go forward? We've got, this, and we've seen their playbook. We see how awful and vicious and cruel, and really, I use the word evil, that they're doing. And us as believers and Christians and want to stand up and do the right thing, how are we supposed to go forward and be and do the honorable way, but still get what we think is right and going forward.
Well, I mean, look, I would tell anybody, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, whatever party you are, vote. I mean, you know, I think you have an obligation to vote and vote your conscience and vote the way you know, if this issue impacted you one way or another, you should vote. It's important, Supreme Court issues are important. So voting on that is important. The question, I guess, is, and I appreciate you calling in, David, for instance, in Tennessee, you saw Marsha Blackburn's number then just kind of skyrocket. I mean, because they were within margin of error for months. And then all of a sudden, over the last week, she pulls up 8 points, maybe one coming out tomorrow, 10 or 11. That tells you something's going on.
I think it speaks directly to what Jim was just expressing concern about, though, Jay. I mean, I think you saw two very different ways that the parties would process these nominations. And even though Phil Bredesen said he'd vote for Brett Kavanaugh, well, a vote for Phil Bredesen, Jay, is essentially an endorsement of the process that we saw from the Democrats during this. And so, look, if you want a process that is respectful, if you want a process that is focused on judicial philosophy and qualifications, then you need a couple of things. One, you need a majority in the United States Senate, whether you're for the Democrats or for the Republicans. And Jay, you need a chairman of the Judiciary Committee and a leader of the majority party that will not allow for some of the, I would call them shenanigans that went on in this case. So,
yeah.
Look, I think Phil Bredesen felt pushed on this. And I think the uptick in numbers that you've seen for Marsha Blackburn, Jay, I think it is directly related I would call it the circus that we saw here in Washington, D.C. over the last couple of months.
You know, actually, Will Haynes, our producer, pointed this out. Marsha Blackburn was actually polling a few points down. So she's already had probably an 11. So what I'm hearing, the 11-point swing has probably already happened because she's up 8. She was down 3. So
I mean, and it's happening in the latest poll. So, I mean, it's really the margin of polls still shows her with a smaller margin. But if you look at the latest polls in just the last week, it swung significantly. I mean, plus 8, plus 10, plus 12. So that, again, you watch that closely because a resource battle at this point, 29 days out, you'll see some ads are run directly by the candidates. Some ads are run by the DNC and its affiliates and PACs and things like that, political action committees. They will start moving out if there's no chance if they're wasting their resources. That doesn't mean that the Democrat won't continue to run ads because they've got their own resources. This in Tennessee, they happen to have personal resources and a pretty well-funded campaign. But they won't have the onslaught of not just ads, but people on the ground on Election Day.
Yeah.
Coming from the national party, if the polling continues to show 10-point leads by their Republican opponent, when you have that kind of lead, again, you got to move on.
How
to other
big
places.
Do you think this plays? I know we only got a minute and 44 seconds here. How big, Than, do you think this plays in the House?
I think it'll ultimately be the deciding factor. I mean, it will depend on in some of these swing states how many of these Democrat members really make it an issue. But the Jay, just the overall tone nationally, I think Mitch McConnell put it right when he says that his opposition really played into the Republican Party's hands. So you're down to 30 or 40 competitive seats in the House. I think it could be the decision maker.
All right, we're going to talk more about this when we come back from the break. We'll have our full panel with us as well. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So we'll take some more calls when we come back from the break. I think, look, Brett, you saw the full working of the Constitution last week. You saw the nomination process, the president's authority there. You saw the Article 1, 2, and 3, all impacted by this, the president, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch. And there was a multi-phase attack on Brett Kavanaugh. It didn't work this time. They couldn't get it. They were trying to get it to phase four, which there would have been enough tumult coming out of those investigations to have people saying, we need more time, and then there was a run the clock out. But when the FBI did the investigation, they could not corroborate any of the allegations made against Judge Kavanaugh. And in fact, the ones that was raised by one of the other lawyers late in the game, Ms. Swetnicks, I think there were inconsistencies in her own statements that came out. So it just, the evidence wasn't there to move it forward. And that's what happened. And then you saw the vote and the confirmation. We'll be back with more, including your calls, just after the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so I call it the pivot, and that's what's taking place right now. Judge Kavanaugh is now Justice Kavanaugh. He will hear his first cases tomorrow as a Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. And we are now less than a month out of the midterms. And all of a sudden, the Kavanaugh nomination becomes a cause celeb in the sense that you have some Democrats saying that they are going to, if they get the House, they're going to open up an investigation with a possible impeachment of Brett Kavanaugh. On the other hand, does it unite the Republican Party as well? Supreme Court nominations tend to do that. So we want to get your reaction to this. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We've got our full panel joining us now. It's Senior Counsel for the ACLJ, or Director of Policy, Professor Harry Hutchinson, Colonel Wes Smith, our Director of Military Affairs, are joining us, as well as Than and myself and Jordan. All right, so let me. We've heard from the three of us. Let me go to you, Professor Hutchinson. Your reaction, he's confirmed. What do you think is the after effect of the confirmation?
Well, first, it's important to note that despite the fact that Justice Kavanaugh has indeed been confirmed, that the political fight is not completely over. So there are 29 days till the midterm election. Conservative voters are mobilized, they're energized, and they're energized for good reason. The Kavanaugh nomination, in my opinion, has united conservatives from all political spectrums. But be sure of one thing. Opposition is also energized to some extent, and people on both sides of this issue are fundraising like mad.
Well, that no question about that. So, Wes, you were at a group this weekend. I was at a group this weekend. Right. Different parts of the same, I would put everybody within the same political philosophy,
right,
but very diverse group. What was kind of the reaction? Here's what I saw. We were at a table, actually. At the table we were at, one of the couples that were seated with me and Pam, he was an independent, registered independent, had been a Republican, had been a Democrat, had been a Republican, kind of back and forth. This pushed him into the Republican camp. He said, you know what, that what they did to Brett Kavanaugh was so outrageous, the kind of visceral attack, that he said, you know, this is just, he just wasn't going to accept it. And he was making a move. What was the reaction where you were?
Yeah, very, very similar. You know, the ugliness of what happened the last 2 weeks is on everyone's mind. And I think the consensus was that the Democrats just made it much more difficult to take the House. They probably were never going to take the Senate anyway. And in spite of the polls indicating that white suburban women are moving to the Democrat Party and they were mainly against Judge Kavanaugh, I believe that Americans in general and Republicans and independent voters in particular, they were disgusted by the behavior of the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee and the blatant mean-spirited attacks on Kavanaugh. Yeah. I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them to have this blue wave that they've been championing.
Did they overplay it? Oh, well, they overplayed. So round one was heavily overplayed by Democrats.
The Spartacus
but
moment.
I think to a point where it was almost kind of so blah that they were the only ones making news and that wasn't really going to impact the election. Then you get to round two where so the Democrats really embarrass themselves in the judicial philosophy section of the hearing, and then we get to this personal attack section, and again, what are Democrats left with? Judge Kavanaugh, who had to go through a horrendous experience for his family, is now a U.S. Supreme Court justice. They are all just sitting, they're still on the Judiciary Committee. They did everything they could, and they failed yet again. So these tactics that they use, I think, are a serious question. And the people that they're aligning themselves with, like you mentioned one of the accusers. I won't even mention the lawyer by name. But it's like if you're going to start taking info from people like that, it means you're not doing your due diligence before you bring these attacks. And if people see that and you levy an attack like that against someone, criminal allegation against someone, serious one at that, then I think the American people would question your seriousness and ability to lead the U.S. government.
Then they're, I mean, we only got 26 seconds here. They're gone now, right? I mean, everybody's out of town.
The Senate will be back tomorrow after the holiday, Jay, so it's going to be interesting as they come back to town in this atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, I knew they were out today. It'll be very interesting to see the return, what it's like. That's for sure. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Be back with more in just a moment. 800-684-3110. Your reaction to all this. Back with more in a second.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. The politics now of the Supreme Court confirmation battle. Justice Kavanaugh is in. There is political fallout from it, Harry. What is the? How do you view that fallout?
Well, I think the political fallout essentially suggests to me that many of the tactics on the left are backfiring. The left, in some sense, is eating its own. So, for instance, Planned Parenthood claimed that Susan Collins disrespected, disbelieved, and mocked survivors, despite the fact that Susan Collins has been a stalwart supporter of abortion rights in the United States. So what does that do? It stiffens Susan Collins's resolve to fight back. And so she did so yesterday on television. In addition, Chuck Schumer has announced that he is going to continue the fight going forward. But the problem with that, of course, is that that statement will indeed unleash many leftists to engage in uncontrolled, unhinged behavior, which I think will backfire with middle-of-the-road voters. The key to the upcoming election is indeed independent voters and a mobilized base on the part of conservatives. And I think one of the problems for the Democrats going forward is their tactics have energized independents and the conservative base in opposition to their tactics.
So it was an overplay.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and as I told you during the break, the American people, by and large, are very kind people and pretty sensible. And so the media focuses on the ugliness of the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee, the demonstrators and all of that. But I have friends the independents and the Republicans, this definitely turned them off.
Yeah.
But I have Democrat friends who now are saying they're questioning their vote coming in November because they're embarrassed by their own party.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Mark is calling from Tennessee on line 3. Mark, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Hello, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
First of all, I'd love to give you props to your band. Your band is awesome.
Oh,
I listen to you every chance I get. I'm a fellow musician. So,
oh, there you go. What do you play?
I play guitar and I sing lead vocals.
Well, I don't sing.
Classic rock, southern rock, we do it all.
There you go.
Yeah, love it, man. So, look, Brett Kavanaugh, the Democrats, all they did to me, I'm a walkaway. I was a Democrat my entire life. When President Trump announced that he was running for presidency, I became a Republican. Simple as that.
Yep.
Democrats, all they did with Brett Kavanaugh was prove that they are willing to do anything that it takes to destroy President Trump.
I think we might let Mark go ahead. Yes, they are willing. They've been a party always willing to unite and do whatever it takes to undermine their political opponents, more so than Republicans. They are tougher. I think you see that even when they are the minority party, they were on the cusp of really killing a nomination potentially. And they were. I remember there were moments during that where people thought that would be the case, that this might be over. They unite. They only ultimately, with all those close races, like Heidi Heitkamp and Claire McCaskill, the only person they lost was Joe Manchin in West Virginia.
And they stayed pretty united.
I mean, that is pretty united around. I mean, even on whether there should be a vote, they voted no.
Yeah.
Joe Donnelly types voted no on allowing an up or down vote. They voted no, so not just on the nomination itself, but whether or not there would be a vote on the nomination. So you saw a party line basically cloture vote with the two flips, the Manchin and Murkowski, and then again party line again, a confirmation vote except for Manchin.
All right, let's. I'm going to play this bite from Senator Kamala Harris, because if you think this is over politically, guess again.
Let's use this week to give us all that extra energy that we know we have, to remember that the bottom line is that they may have the power right now, but we need to take it back.
So how do you, Than, what is your reaction to this as a messaging point going forward? And by the way, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We want your reaction to all this, the political ramification of it, how it impacts you, what it meant to you. 1-800-684-3110. Go ahead, Matt. Matt,
well,
go ahead. I got a note from Matt. You're Than, as I remember. Go ahead.
I'm getting some messages from Matt, too, as well, actually. But
yeah,
look, Jay, politically, I think it's a trade-off from inside the Democratic caucus. Look, yeah, I mean, Kamala Harris is from California. Cory Booker is from New Jersey. And this opposition of President Trump at any cost, including Brett Kavanaugh, might play well for them in their elections and even in House races inside those states. But the problem for those two, Jay, is that it doesn't play well in the states where the majorities in both the House and Senate will play out. It's overplaying your hand in places like North Dakota, Tennessee, Missouri, Indiana, Tennessee, and Texas. So look, Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, who want to run for president someday, they're probably willing to make that trade, but I think it costs them an opportunity to take a majority in the House and probably actually backfires on in there.
Yeah, go ahead, Wes.
Yeah, I think it absolutely does. And as they continue to breathe out threats and cursings, Nadler saying he's going to investigate Kavanaugh and what Kamala Harris said, more and more independent voters, Republicans and moderate Democrats, they're turned off by this.
Well, let me play this. This is Jennifer Griffin from Fox News, who spoke with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who hopes to become the Speaker of the House. Take a listen.
House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi questioned the FBI investigation into Kavanaugh in a statement last night. Quote, therefore, I am announcing that I will file a Freedom of Information Act request so that the public can see the FBI report, transcripts of the underlying interviews, instructions sent to the FBI from the White House, and any communications to the FBI from Senate Republicans regarding the scope of the investigation.
You know, the juxtaposition here of them wanting to do a FOIA request on this particular issue, let me just digress for a moment, and they're fighting a release of
FBI's good for the Democrats now.
Other investigations, other matters, let's say, that are going on at this time, and other matters that are being declassified, and them not wanting those released, but this they want released. They're going to do a Freedom of Information Act request to get this information released.
And I would assume that Nancy Pelosi wasn't one of the people that got to read that. She's not a U.S. senator,
right?
But was not convincing to I mean, so well, there was no corroboration.
The House Democrats moved on to temperament
because there was nothing there. So be a report of saying
no cooperating
nothing
evidence
was here. So what is that going to do for it? This is just to try and keep it as a political issue. Nancy Pelosi thinks in the House level, because that you can be more liberal.
Yeah,
they are. It's not statewide elections; they are district elections, and you take usually candidates that are a little bit more extreme than when you get to a statewide race.
Harry, do you think that the because, you know, look, they're going to message this point out too. I mean, they're going to study this; they're going to focus group it. There's a risk for Democrats in running on the Kavanaugh nomination.
Absolutely.
But is it going to just be too tempting for them that they can't resist?
I think that's correct. I think many of the leaders in the Democratic Party, they're so focused on this particular issue. This means that they will refuse to focus on issues that are bread and butter issues for individuals in the middle part of the country. Many Democrats, in my opinion at least, disrespect voters who live in so-called flyover country, as Than suggested. So their tactics may play very, very well with voters who are on the East or the West Coast. But the key question is, how will their tactics play out in so-called flyover country? And my view is that the approach taken by Democratic leaders will indeed backfire, and likely backfire big time, at least if we look at current polling results.
I think there is a pre-Kavanaugh House race calculus and a post-Kavanaugh House race calculus.
Yes, it was so politically charged. Regardless of what side of the issue you are, it was galvanizing. And so it shook everything up. Nothing politically was the same when they had the second hearing. These accusations. If he would have just gone through, which it will look likely that, you know, on judicial philosophy, kind of had the normal hearings, yes, most Democrats would have voted no, but probably a few more would have voted yes. I don't think it would have changed the political calculus so much. In fact, I think people like Claire McCaskill would vote yes, and it may be tougher to for the Republican Holly to win. But instead, you had this second round of hearings. Of all this uncorroborated junk, we can now say after the FBI's second report, uncorroborated junk, serious criminal allegations against Brett Kavanaugh, and everything has changed now. So every political calculation must change once you have a moment like this in history. 29 days, and we're talking to you now, 29 days before the election. That was all happening within about a month of the election.
Dan, what do you think?
The reason midterms are historically good for the party that is out of power is because of an enthusiasm gap. It's hard to motivate voters who their party is in power to get out to the polls. Jay, I think what we just saw was about the best infusion of enthusiasm to a party that already has power that you could possibly get. So how will it play out? I don't know. But I'll tell you this, a Republican majority in the House is far more likely today than it was a month ago.
I think you're right. All right, we're taking your calls coming into the last segment. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Remember, tomorrow, special programming on the case of Asiya Bibi. Big developments there. We'll talk about that a little bit after the break, but we'll get into it tomorrow.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, we just had a great question came in by Facebook from Jonathan saying, is the Democratic Party at a crossroads in their ideology? And the consensus that we've had here in our studio was yes, because you've got this, what I call mainstream Democratic thought, the more centrist, and then you had this progressive to the right, to the left of Bernie Sanders almost approach coming out. Than, how do you, you're up there. What are you seeing?
Well, the only thing I would add to the conversation, Jay, is I think there's a struggle even inside the elected members of the party. And I mean, Jordan talked about how Nancy Pelosi would be the new speaker likely if the Democrats retain power. I mean, that's actually an open question, because if they're going to get a majority, Jay, it's going to have to involve Democrats who are actually campaigning opposed to Nancy Pelosi, both from the left and the right. So I think there's kind of two questions for House Democrats. One, can we get the majority back? And two, who can we unite around that can get 218 votes on the floor of the House to be the Speaker of the House? So I think there is there are a lot of fractions inside the party right now. Left, I would say left center, and then far, far left, and they're having their own fight on it.
Absolutely. All right, let's go right back to the phones.
Yep, Linda calling in from Georgia, online four. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Linda, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call,
sure.
Jay. I was listening, and I just, you know, I am an independent conservative.
Yep.
Grew up African-American. Dad was Democrat. You know, we do what our parents do. And after the 2000 election, I came out of the parties. I think the speech that Senator Collins gave, I think it'll galvanize and give that extra pep for people to get out to vote. You know, talking to different people, I just feel that, you know, people are tired of what they're seeing. I'm a mom with three adopted kids from out of the system.
Wow.
And I want to see good things happen.
Sure.
And I'm not a spring chicken. I'm in my 60s, raising three kids. I want to see good things happen for our children. And what I see out here happening is that what time do we wake up? We have bigger fish to fry. And I voted for President Trump because I think the energy that he brings, this is what we need to move America forward. I'm just wondering what you think about the parties with this that we see going on.
Well, I think, Linda, what you said is, what part of Georgia do you live in?
I'm in Hiram, which is west, southwest. Yeah.
Yeah, I know Hiram. So, look, I mean, I think what you said eloquently is the kind of where things are. I think that the American people, you could take it much broader than Georgia, I think the American people are looking at, how does this impact my children and grandchildren? And you've got a situation now, and you look at the stability, global stability, which you have global stability right now in a way we haven't seen in a decade. You have a sense of momentum, I think, in the economy. Low unemployment. Even though historically that... It still tells you that there's a switch in the House leadership in midterms. There's this presidency has not gone by the norms.
Yeah, I mean, that historical data is political data. I mean, it's data that says it's difficult for a political party that is in power to get the enthusiasm gap up. But, Jay, the economic data and the other sort of fact-based data really all is flowing in the direction of the GOP right now. So, you know, it's going to be a fascinating political study to see which of those two carries, because if you took just the one, it would say that the Democrats are going to win. If you take just the other, it would say the Republicans are going to win. Jay, I think both are going to be very close, but I'll be honest with you. If I was going to be one party or the other heading into these midterms, there's no question I'd rather be the Republican Party.
You think the momentum shift has been that significant?
Absolutely. And I don't think the Democrats ever really had a real path in the Senate. It was only in the House, and they saw that path in the House narrow significantly over the last month.
Susan Collins, not usually a conservative hero. And who she spoke to, yes, the conservatives were very excited about what she did, appreciate what she did for Judge Kavanaugh in that speech and remarks. But I think it was broader than that. So conservatives appreciate what she did, even though they don't always agree with her politically. It does show the big tent Republican Party. But independents and more moderate Republicans who may not have been as enthusiastic about getting out to vote this election cycle and never are in midterm election cycles, I think that's who she was speaking to, Susan Collins. Yep. And if you could start, as we said, uniting the party that way, 29 days out, well, who cares about what happened 50, 60 days out? We now care about what's happening now. You know, what is happening in the present. That's what affects midterm elections. Not how they were doing Democrats 2 months ago or even 3 weeks ago when we were on this show talking about how now the Senate might be in play. And listen, things could change again.
Yeah, 3 weeks is a lifetime in politics.
Now, there's not going to be probably a political event as big as the Supreme Court confirmation, though. In the next 29 days.
All right, let's take another call.
Yeah, this is an easy one to answer from Larry in Indiana on line one. Larry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Larry.
Hello.
Yep.
Getting past all, I know we're not past all this stuff with this the confirmation, but what do you see as far as his open seat? Is it that he left?
There'll be a nomination put forward by the president, and they will go through the process within the same thing. The House, the Senate will be advising consent.
Technically, there might be other vacancies on that one. Yes, sure. I think it filled pretty quickly on D.C.
Yeah,
but yeah, it opens up one. These don't get as much attention usually. Sometimes there's some fighting in the Senate, but it's not like the U.S. Supreme Court where it's like they're having to operate. Down one. It's not like that at the circuit court where it's really affects things as much.
Yeah, I think that's right. Let's go ahead and take another call. Yep. We're trying to grab some calls here.
Yeah, Kim in Kansas on line six. Kim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Kim. Go ahead.
Hi there. Well, first of all, you mentioned earlier, someone mentioned about how one of the strengths of the Democratic Party is that they stick together. And my thought on that is that, Lindsey Graham said, if they ever get, God help us, if they ever get the power that they're looking for, because they groupthink. It's not hard for them to all stick together. None of them think for themselves. Somebody's calling the shots, probably a couple of people at the top there, and none of them are thinking for themselves. They just pretty much just oppose Trump, right?
Right.
And there's a big issue there with that, Kim, is that opposition to a person never gets you across the line. It will get you very close. You can run anybody but Bush campaign, which is what John Kerry ran. And ultimately, he got beat pretty badly because there was nothing galvanizing people past, we just don't like Bush. So in this midterm, if the whole thing is we don't like Donald Trump, so vote Democrat, that is not usually been historically, even though they're supposed to do well historically in the midterms, it's not a winning strategy.
All right, let me grab Lynette out of Long Island. Go ahead, Lynette. You're on the air.
God bless you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that as an African-American woman, first and foremost a Christian, but as an African-American woman, I have been praying for decades for something to finally wake up African-American Christians so that they don't automatically vote Democrat across the board. And I said, when I saw this, I said, hallelujah, the Lord has answered my prayers. I have heard more sermons on Joseph and the Bible as a result of this, where the woman was the one who was lying. I have heard more preachers who have always said, preachers from churches where Barack Obama's picture is up in the front of the church. I have heard preachers telling their congregations from the pulpit, don't just vote Democrat. Look to see what the person actually stands for. I've heard more people saying that they were excited to know that President Trump is going to put people on the Supreme Court and in the other courts who were like Antonin Scalia.
Lynette, we're out of time here, but I appreciate the call. I think what you said sums it up, and that is people are thinking for themselves now. Groupthink did not work. Groupthink does not work. You need to be making these decisions based on information. That's what we try to do in this broadcast each and every day. Hey, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Very special broadcast tomorrow on the case of Asia Bibi. Talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.